Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to Pre-Market Prep. I am Spencer. Joel is here. Dennis is here. And we have thoughts on things. So many thoughts on so many things. It's going to be a fun show today. I'll tell you why in a minute. Let's get the show started.
This is Pre-Market Prep with Joel Conan, Dennis Dick, and Spencer Israel.
It's not every day we have a comedian on the show, Joel, but that's what's happening.
What do you mean? I'm not a comedian?
Not a professional comedian on the show, Joel. We have Bill Santiago joining us today. He is a trader, and that's his evening gig. His day job is a comedian, and we love Bill, and we're going to get Bill on in about a half hour or so. We're going to talk some trading, tell us some jokes, do all that fun stuff. But in the meantime, we got a lot going on today. We're going to talk about just the shellacking that is happening in tech land here. We'll talk about the reaction to the Powell news yesterday as it got digested throughout the day. We're going to talk about Zoom. That's growth tech. We're going to talk about retail. Obviously, we had Best Buy earnings. We had Dollar Tree earnings. We had, let me go back to my list here. We had Dick's earnings this morning, Urban Outfitters last night. So we had some retail on the mind. We'll take questions from our chat as always. And before I throw it to Joel and his charts, I want to say a reminder, and I'm going to put the link in chat right now. I just did. December 11th is the final pre-market prep Saturday boot camp workshop festival extravaganza of the year. Order execution, order flow, and tape reading. I just put the link to sign up in the chat. It's also in the description below where you're watching this right now. So check it out right now. And Joel, let's bring up your charts here. Tell us how we're doing this morning. We had a week close.
What a deceiving down $2.50 and 77 and a quarter. Popped off the open to 46.89. That's a good level to keep an eye on. See, always got to take out the pre-market high if you want to have a good day. On the downside, we went to 54.50, so we blew through the low from last week, and now we're rebounding. So we'll talk about the markets when Triple D come in, because during the pre-market show, Triple D was in an ultra-fast market. I mean, yeah, my ears were tired, but he's going to come on. He'll share his thoughts with us. Crude, they finally released the strategic reserves, down 44 cents, 76.32. That should help the inflation picture. But no one's telling the gold market that. Down 16 bucks at 17.19.30, now under 1,800. Silver, after flirting with the 25 handle, we're now in the 23 handle, down 67 cents at 23.63. Bitcoin futures, they're hogging 55K, up 835 and 56.650. Ethereum futures, they're going the same way. They're up 99 bucks at $4,165. Triple D, you got a lot on your mind today, buddy. How you doing? Are you getting killed in anything, first of all?
I'm always getting killed in something. That's part of the market. So when you have 100 overnight positions, I actually don't have 100 overnight positions. I have about, I've got out of some. I have maybe 35 or 40 overnight positions. You're always getting killed in something. It's all a matter of managing losers when you have that many. Manage out of the losers, work out of some of the winners. It's all good. We just got to figure out, you know, what's moving, what's not moving. So anyways, no, we're good.
A wild 45 minutes, 35 minutes yesterday. Even you didn't have your delayed spook quotes on, right? Do you have live spook quotes? Are you paying for those now? Did you get, because you were right on it.
No, I don't play Life for Live spook quotes. It's $700 a month for a professional, which is just ridiculous. You get them for $4 if you're retail, but if you're a professional, if you have a license, yeah, you pay $700 a month. So that's what they get. They get the prop traders. So you know what I do? I could spy. I don't pay that. I still pay for spy quotes, which costs money too, but not $700 a month.
So what? Let's talk about the factors.
I just had something interesting happen. So I tweet. I don't know if you can show the tweet, but it was a chart from the Financial Times that was saying that short selling of ARKK has risen to a record high. This is a good segue because we're going to talk all the ARK stocks in a minute here and how they've been getting hammered. And then, so I said, I just, I quoted that tweet and I said, well, I'm blaming Sark for this one, S-A-R-K, which was a bit of a joke. The Tuttle Capital Management. The Tuttle Capital Management
this is the graphic person, you just tweeted.
Representative, just tweeted back at me and said, that's not us. That was uptrending before we launched. So they actually came and found my tweet. There it is. I didn't CC him on it or nothing, but that's interesting. He must just be looking at his own symbol.
Did we have that guy on before?
I don't know. We should have him on.
Yeah, Tuttle's been on. He hasn't been on our show for a while, but he's been on.
Yeah, with we should have him on.
That's
on,
big time.
He's been on with Chris. He's been on. Yeah, he's too big time for us.
What's his name? Because he's going under Tuttle Capital.
Yeah, so Matt Tuttle. Is it
Tuttle?
Matt Tuttle. Yeah,
he's been Matt Tuttle. Okay,
yeah, he was. We had him on the show like a bunch of times years ago.
Guys. Less than 2 weeks. I just did an interview.
I know. He was on with Mitch. He's been on with Mitch and Chris before. He's been on Benzinga a bunch of times, but not with this specific show for part of that. He's too big time now. He only talks to Mitch.
Why? He reached out to me, so I think he'd come on.
All right. He likes Dennis.
Hey,
he likes me. He reached out just to say it's not our fault. It's not our fault that Kathy's going out. And it was a joke. I didn't think it was Tuttle that was doing that. Obviously, it's the overall holdings here. We know that it's just not, you know, it's the short bet's going up. So I guess if short bets aren't going up and he's got a short fund that is literally shorting ARKK, that it might have something to do with it. But it was more of a joke. I mean, obviously, a lot of her holdings are very weak stocks right now. Let's talk about ARK because this was the... These were the stocks that were absolutely getting hammered yesterday. And this, to me, makes perfect sense. So let's think about what occurred yesterday. Right at the end of our show, Jerome Powell is back. So we know Pumpin' Powell is back. One thing about Pumpin' Powell is we know he doesn't care too much about inflation, or at least he doesn't want to address it as well as maybe another chair would have. So that is the boogeyman in the room, is that, okay, well, what's that mean for inflation? Well, he hasn't worried about it too much up to this point. Is he going to start worrying about it? Maybe, but maybe another chair would have worried a little bit sooner. So the inflation trade came on yesterday, something fierce, and you could see it, you know, with the banks going up, you could see it with commodity stocks. A lot of steel was up, coal was up. You know, you had even some oil stocks up on a day that wasn't even that great for oil, but the oil did turn around. It was weak early. You could see the commodity trade. Forget about gold. Forget about silver. They do their own thing. Gold is just not an inflation hedge. It hasn't been worked. That trade hasn't worked all year when we're in the highest inflationary environment for 30 years. So gold, just not a good representative. But when you look, you had that trade going on. And what else did you have happen? High growth tech got hammered. Why? Because those future earnings, so when you're buying high growth tech, you're buying future earnings. Those future earnings are worth a lot less in an inflationary environment. So that is why high growth tech gets hit harder in an inflationary environment. And it got hit the hardest. And who owns the most high growth tech? It's Kathy. And her fund got hammered again. Now approaching a little ways off here yet, but we're starting to get down and getting down and dirty. Near the 52-week lows again. You know, we can look at ARKK, best example, $159 back in February when everybody had to own it. It's $108 now. So you're talking about a fund that is down about 30% on a year that the S&P has done pretty well. So since February, same time, S&P's up about 20%. Kathy Wood down about 30%. Not great. Why? Well, we're fighting inflation all year. Her bet is on deflation. She's on CNBC talking about deflation being a major issue. Perfectly wrong. So her fund getting punished because she's in all high growth tech, which benefits from deflation and definitely doesn't benefit from inflation. So if
is Pump and
Powell
losing
sticky,
his punch? Is Pump
what's
and
that?
Powell, is Pump and Powell losing his punch? You know?
Why?
I don't know. I mean, you know, the
markets are still at all-time highs.
Yeah, but I just yesterday. I mean, you know, with him coming in like that, you know, the market
got concerned about inflation. I mean, this is a major concern for this market, and we get nothing with the same chairman. We don't get. We know we're going to be a market. It's and obviously the market overall. We're not saying sell all your stocks, Katie bar the door. The market's crashing. We're saying why you're seeing this separation. You're seeing commodity trades go up because if he's not going to address inflation, the market is. The market is going to bet on inflation continuing with Powell. Is that bad for your overall market? Apparently not. The S&Ps are still up near all-time highs. But is it good for high-growth tech? Hell no. So Cathie Wood positioned not for inflation. If inflation goes away, if inflation starts to come down substantially, you will probably see a rally in the high-growth name. So basically putting a long bet on ARKK is a bet that inflation is transitory and eventually going to get a lot, be a lot less. It's never going to go away, but you know we're going to get back off at 6.5%. So just know that when you're buying these stocks is when you're buying a Cathie Wood fund, you are betting on deflation, not inflation.
That's a great point. And as I was noting, we were talking about this morning. I didn't even realize this, but like the Cathie fund that I own, the ARKW. After all is said and done this year, I'm only down like 1%. It feels like I should be down more. I am down more when you compare it against the SPY because SPY is up 25% this year. But yeah. I'm basically only down 1% in my ARK, which really, relative to the SPY, it sucks. But like, you know, just in a vacuum, isn't actually as terrible as I would have assumed. So I almost feel like it's a moral victory this morning for me. Because I thought it would have been down more this year, but you're right. And that's why you have to be prepared for more than one type of environment, right? Last year it was all sure. Cathie. Last year was like was personally, I did fine, but I definitely didn't knock. I was knocking the doors down. I definitely wasn't having the amount of fun that, you know, people that were all in on everything Cathie were having, right? Because I didn't have that much growth exposure. I have some, but not everything.
Yeah.
So last year was good for me, but not as good as a lot of people. This year was better for me. And all the people that had a blast last year with, you know, their Zooms and their Rokus and their
yeah.
and their Pelotons and whatever and the Teladocs and this and that, they're not having fun this year.
And she had a fit, and it's a great point, Spencer. Yeah. I mean, let's give her some credit. Because her fund, you know, we just dissed her. She's had a really rough 2021, but she had a fantastic 2020. The big difference, we didn't have inflation 2020. So basically, when you just boil it down, is inflation is playing a huge part in her performance, a huge part. And should she be down this year? Absolutely. For the simple reason is I saw her on CNBC 4 months ago saying that she believed that inflation is not an issue at all and deflation is the issue. She is positioned for deflation.
Exact opposite.
And when you have inflation happening, it's the exact opposite of how she is positioned. She could not be positioned worse, which is why her performance of her fund is one of the worst funds of the year. So is it going to continue? It all depends on inflation. If we start to go into a deflationary environment, like she predicts, those high growth tech names will pick up. But it matters. Inflation matters to Cathie Wood, maybe more than most other fund managers, because a lot of other fund managers are diversified. Me, I've got some inflationary stuff. I've got some tech stuff. I'm diversified.
Yeah,
she's not. She's high growth tech and obviously talking about, you know, deflation. She's talking, you know, disruptive technology. She's all in.
Yeah.
She keeps going all in. She buys more Teladoc every single day. So it all depends on, you know, it could turn and she's going to have moments where it looks like it's turning and it's getting better. But she's paying very high valuations, and I'm making a huge bet on deflation. And so far in the back half of 2021, that's been a bad bet.
She's creating her own overhead supply. I mean, forget about everybody else in there. I mean, she's getting too big in some of this stuff, right?
Can we look at her top holdings?
Yeah.
Bring them up.
I mean, you know the street is all over that. And then I was just looking at ARKK. I mean, technically, this thing trades pretty well. I mean, like last week, like I know it's a $100, $120 stock, but I mean, you got four high, one, two, three, four, five highs in the same area. I mean, that is, I mean, it's technically it's good. And then you just had the breakdown for that. The only thing you're looking at is for today, where is it at? 106.35. That was your October low. And then after that, I mean, you're looking at double digits. 97.22 was your May of 2000 low. And as much as we're talking about how much has gotten killed, I mean, look what it did in 20. I mean, there is under $100. You know, once these things go into double digits, they just get whooped on. Example: Peloton, Beyond Meat, and then the other thing that makes it even worse is like she just had such a great call on Tesla. you know, over the, you know, over well, the years.
This is
you
a
know?
Huge point. Tesla. Yeah. What is Tesla up this year?
Like 740%.
Like, Tesla's up like 50% this year, maybe more. Her biggest holding is up 50%. And her fund is 20 or 30% off of the highs. I mean, how bad are her other stocks? If her best holding and her top holding is kicking ass and taking names and she's down that much, it means she had some really bad other holdings. So let's look. And Unity Software has been a great one.
She's doing great.
Obviously, you can see is there's going to be separation. What her top holdings are the ones that are going to be performing better because they're still remaining her top holdings. So you got to look at it that way, too.
Not necessarily. She, you know, we talk about how often she buys the dip. It is actively managed. It's not like the cream will automatically rise.
It's actively managed.
It's not that the cream automatically rises to the top here, right? She's got Teladoc up there. That's a big loser this year. You know, she got Coinbase up there. That's a winner this year. You're right.
Yeah, that's come back. That's
well, not from the IPO, I guess, but it's come back from the lows.
So anyway, but
Roku disaster, Zoom. We'll talk about that in a second. Great segue into that one in a second. Disaster. Shopify's been fantastic.
Yeah, Shopify.
Spotify. I haven't looked at Spotify in a long time. It's kind of meandering in there. Square, I'm very, very worried about Square because even of what's happened to PayPal, Twilio, all these starting to look yucky. So, anyways, it's what you're betting on. So know what you own. You know, you can bet, but you're betting on inflation going away if you're betting on Kathy. I'm not thinking inflation's going away anytime soon. I think inflation is sticky. I think it's going to be here for a while. Are we going to be humming around 6.5-7%? Maybe it comes in a little bit, but look at what the gentleman said on CNBC last night on Mad Money. They had the CEO of Traeger, and he said that the cost of his container ships, so basically bringing his...
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, bringing his barbecues over or whatever, $1,500 was back in 2020. It cost about $1,500. He says in some cases, they're paying as high as $30,000 for that same ship. So why are prices going up? Well, when your shipping goes from $1,500 to $30,000 for your container, I mean, holy mackerel, you got to pass that along to the customers. So watch that. I mean, maybe that's where the root of the problem is, you know, getting the product here. And if you can't get it here, I mean, I know, like I said, we've been building a house. My wife's been buying everything. We're storing stuff everywhere for the house because we're scared we're not going to get it. Or the prices are going to be a lot higher when we actually need to get the stuff put into the house. But, I mean, the container shipping is probably right near the root of the problem.
Yeah. Or they could just be a hero and not pass it along to consumers.
Well, also, if you look at it, you know, they get it to the ship. The ship gets it to the dock, right? Then a truck has to take it. Well, what's higher gas prices, right? So there's another inflationary thing. Now, crude's coming in a little bit. It's funny how gas goes, you know, 2.25, 2.5, 3, 3.50, you know, whatever. People are paying above $4 some places. And then crude comes down 7, 8, 10 bucks, and price of gas comes down a nickel. I mean, it's so easy to ratchet up the prices, but they never seem to come down as fast. But 8:19 here. Do we want to? Where's the little
Zoom?
Zoom.
Yeah, okay. let's go into Zoom because you know this is a growth tech name. This is a stock that Kathy owns. And man, you know, I'm not always right, but I did not feel good about this report going in.
The report was fine.
Okay. I didn't feel about the stock going into there.
I didn't feel good about the stock.
Their report was fine.
Does the report matter?
That's another great question, Joe. No. So their earnings per share came in a couple of cents above estimates. Their sales came in a little bit above estimates as well. They gave guidance for the quarter. It was good, right? It was a little, beat by a little bit on the EPS. They beat by a little bit on the sales. Everything came in a little bit above where the estimates were. However, if you look at the growth rate of Zoom, the numbers they reported last quarter represented their slowest growth rate since before their IPO. So that's all the street cares about right now is, again, sort of like Robinhood, a victim of their own success, right? The growth rate was so outrageous for the last year and a half.
The valuation was outrageous too. Yeah. I mean, you're paying what it was at the peak. What were we paying, like 30 times sales or something stupid for this? I mean, people. Okay, so again, when the story is hot, I'm going to say this. I'm a broken record on here, but you know why I'm a broken record? Because this stuff works. When the story is hot, valuation is meaningless. Meaningless, meaningless. When the story cools off, valuation starts to matter. And at a certain point, valuation is all that matters when you have no story. So Zoom story, ice cold, brr. Back in July, August, September, oh, we're all going to Zoom. We're never going to go out again. Story was awesome. Everybody's paying through the roof prices. You got to watch what you pay for. And eventually, so you don't have to. When the story's hot, you can just get in there. But you got to get out when the story starts to cool off. The story went ice cold when we started to get a handle on COVID. And that's over a year ago now. So, you know, are we still going to have other bumps in COVID? Yeah, but people are still now doing their other thing. There's competition for them. I mean, like Joel was saying yesterday, unless they're announcing new products and other things.
Yeah, that's what I was looking, yeah.
Like big new products and new ideas. It's tough to just bet on a streaming, you know, service here because there's so many other ones. I mean, we use StreamYard one now. We've used other ones. There's, you know, obviously there's Cisco WebEx. There's a million of these things out there now. Zoom, maybe the best one of them all. But is it worth the valuation you were paying? I mean, at the peak, what was the market cap on this thing? Like, what is the market cap now? Maybe that's a good exercise, too.
That's a good question. So
when valuation matters, and it does on Zoom now, what is the market cap on this thing? What are you paying for?
$72 billion, but that's as of the close. So I don't know. Call it.
It's still worth $70 billion.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
This thing is gulag cold, Dennis. I mean, it's beyond it. And also, could you pick a worse day to announce earnings after that sell-off? It seemed like they were just doomed.
Yeah, you're right.
After the Peloton, after the market, after that sell-off. I mean, they could have, you know, came out with a cure for cancer and baldness in that thing when they rallied. I can't even give you a monthly level because people are gonna get mad at me because the next monthly low, believe it or not, is at 183. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think we're going to see that today. You have someone hanging up here just around the 218, 220 area, just, you know, maybe have some puts, maybe trying to bring stock in a little bit. So just keep 220 as a reference. The actual pre-market low is 217.80. So I'd like to keep an eye on that. I don't know. It's just
every, you know, rally, people,
and look at the way it closed yesterday too.
Look at what it did after hours. Go back to the after hours chart. It was a good report, and they ripped it. It's like Zoom is back. Zoom is back. Look at the pre market. Look at the after hours chart.
I saw that at the
get that. You got that thing on there.
I know. I moved it. I was gonna try and find support. But
look what it did. It ran up $20. Look how long it held for. It couldn't hold that for more than 15 minutes. Hold the gain for 15 minutes, and the bag holders are just like, get me out. It's so hard for stocks and downtrends. It's so hard for them to just rip, or on higher and go up like 30, 50, 80% because everybody's stuck in it. They're all stuck. And every single rally you get, it's like people, thank you, I'm out. Thank you for giving me my money back. They're so quick to hit. That's why even when the stock reports a good quarter, there's so many bag holders in a stock chart that's going that far down that the rips get sold. Sell rips on stocks and downtrends. No better example than Zoom last night. It works like a charm again.
And just looking at the day, I mean, you know that people that are stuck on this, and, you know, the bigger traders, you know, they got to be layering out. They just got to be putting offers there because it, you know, I don't know how about big of a size because you don't want to affect the book, but it swept it and it traded some volume. Wow. You had three daily highs just surrounding 264. And then the pre-market high is 264 even. Three highs right here. It got right into this area, wow, where you had sellers 4 days in a row. I switched over to the five-minute chart. So 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then boom, the bottom fell out. And then you had people buying it the whole way here, and they're like, what, 250? What, 245? Ugh, not a good day for Zoom. So we'll see, 220 area, level of interest.
Yeah, let's move on here to retail because we got a bunch of retailers in focus this morning. Let's start with Best Buy. I got to say, I'm sort of scratching my head at this one. I'm scratching my head at the reaction to this one because I had assumed that what Best Buy said was obvious, which is like same thing as Zoom, frankly. Like there is no way There is no way that they can possibly maintain the growth that they had last year on the e-commerce front. So here's what they said. EPS for last quarter, it was good. It beat the estimate. Sales, it was good. It beat the estimate. They actually raised their enterprise comp sales growth outlook for the year by one percentage point. And then they said, what the market's saying, well, yeah, that's all fine and dandy, Best Buy. But when you look at what those numbers were a year ago, your growth is slowing down. Well, like, yeah, duh. What do you think is going to happen? Okay, so their e-commerce sales were down year over year. Yeah.
I mean, come on. They also warned about their holiday sales. That'll do it. So I'll get the comment here. I'm trying to find it here now. I had it up. But there was a comment about their holiday sales.
Okay, fine. Well,
so
this is a stock that...
And that was because supply chain. Best Buy is still facing higher costs on the supply chain issue. So, you know, it's not so much the demand's not there. It's that the supply is an issue here too. And they gave a soft holiday sales forecast.
I looked in the statement and I guess it's
on Twitter. So multiple people talking about it. So maybe, what did they do? The conference call? Are they doing the conference call right now? Maybe it's on the call.
Conference call is either happening right now or hasn't happened yet. So,
okay. And that's a big time issue here too. I mean, supply chain issues here. This is right back to what we were talking about before. So demand is there for electronics. Demand will probably be there in the holiday season, but if the supply is not there, that's an issue too. I don't know. What do you think here? Do you buy the pullback on Best Buy?
You got an area that if you're gonna do it, you have to lean on. And I call it this 118 area. Pre-market low is 121.11. You give it back half of this move pretty quickly. Three lows in the same area, but I just think it's gonna, you know, I don't think it's gonna be so clean. I'd maybe wait for it to go back down through that area, you know, takes out 118, 119, maybe comes and finds a home at 115, and then it comes back through, you know, comes back up through this area. But if you look at it, just since the end of September, you got people still sitting on profits here, you know, bought it all the way up to here, up, you know, from 103 to 120. So couple 118 intermediate and then the other support at 115. I mean, to find resistance on this thing, like if you're brave enough to try and, you know, pick the bottom in something like this, just scale out, just throw them out there, yes. You know, 22, 23, 24, 25. We closed yesterday, so you got a little bit of a hint going into the close, but that's probably more after making a new all-time high. Have you ever seen so many stocks make a new all-time high on the day and then crumble? I mean, Microsoft. New all-time high, $10 off it, now $12. I mean, this is an ugly day. This is how the, you know, we've seen a lot of ugly days like this, but this one, you really trapped some people.
It was an ugly, ugly, ugly tape yesterday. I will give you that. And the last 10 minutes was super ugly. And we lost, you know, 35 handles in the last 10 minutes yesterday. That's incredible sell. That was one of the worst closes of the year. It wasn't even on
of the year. I think it's the worst close
since
COVID,
or of the year, a year and a half. It's the worst close in a long time.
Yeah,
because we were holding up, and it's just like boom, they pulled the rug out from under it. But what was happening yesterday? We'll get back to Best Buy in a second. What was happening yesterday was they hammered high growth tech all day, and they simply got tired, and they're like, okay, we're going to hammer value tech now too, and they started hammering Microsoft. This was the reason for your sell off. Is we know S&P's SPY is basically five stocks, the majority of it. It's like 27%. Is like the top six components or seven components. Mm-hmm. It's insane. So Microsoft lost $4 in the last half hour yesterday. Apple lost $3 after being up on the day, basically in the last 20 minutes. So just looking through Google, just absolutely hammered in the last 15, 20 minutes. It was at 15:18. It was sitting up there up on the day, 29.69. Then it lost another $35. So, I mean, Amazon, it was across the board. Facebook lost $4 in the last half hour too. Last 20 minutes, last half hour, all the big guns that are the biggest components in the S&P lost some serious steam. Even Tesla lost some serious steam. It's bouncing back here this morning, which it always seems to do, but lost some serious steam as well. So that's what happened. Going back to Best Buy, I actually think I would be a buyer of this dip for the simple reason is that, I'm telling you, sell rips and stocks and uptrends, buy dips and stocks and uptrends. It's a big, big dip, though, is the problem. I would have liked it better if it wasn't such a big dip, because now it's like, oh, does it break trend? Kind of. But you're still at support. 120 is a big number here. And the setup for it makes me think they don't have a demand problem. I don't think it's more of a supply problem. It's worse to have a demand problem than it is a supply problem. So that's one thing in their favor. Second thing in their favor, it is still going into holiday season. And people get excited for a stock like this in holiday season. So you come into Black Friday, people start to think about this. Could this be one that turns around? It isn't going to get it all back, but could it bounce $5 or $6 from where it is right now? I think so. I think I'd actually be inclined to buy the dip here around 120. I don't have a position in it. I don't know if I'm a real buyer of any stocks right now because I'm a little bit nervous on the overall market. But if I was, Best Buy would be one I'd be looking at.
Show my screen here. Look at this, Dennis. I mean, you talk about – this is a good tool. If you guys – this is what I use. This is what I keep up for my front screen. Look at that. Between Microsoft and Apple, almost 13% of the S&P 500.
Just those two stocks.
Yeah, just those two stocks. And then you go down all the – look at the tech. I mean, Tesla in there. I mean, you're talking 25 –
NVIDIA's
20,
up there now too.
Yeah, yep, 25, 26%. Of the S&P, I combine the Googs. It still
obviously,
bothers
yes,
me.
For
yeah,
sure, you should.
It still bothers me. I mean, and those things were strongly. I mean, you're watching that. I mean, it's just a good thing to keep on.
One, two, three, four, five, six tech, seven tech stocks making up what 27%?
Yeah, is that crazy?
Heavily weighted, and they're all the big guns.
Yep,
the S&P is dependent on those seven names, big time.
Yeah, I just wanted to share that with you guys. So, you know, something Dennis and I, you know, been following for a long time, and I know, you know, the NASDAQ and the Qs, and yeah, I mean, the Qs have been, you know, the star performer and everything. But if you're looking at the S&Ps, the general market, that's just a good thing. I take a look at it because it's changed over the years. Remember when ExxonMobil was number one and GE was number two, and IBM even spent some time up there. Who else is up there?
Cisco.
ExxonMobil used to be up
Cisco
there.
Was number one for a while.
AT&T used to be in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, just by following that, you could get
AT&T had a great day yesterday. Why? Earnings now versus earnings in the future.
Well, it wasn't just that, though. There was also the deal, the Vonage deal, which is like his AT&T's sandbox a little bit. So they're thinking maybe there's some consolidation that's going to be coming in the space. But the Ericsson.
Who's going to buy AT&T?
I don't think anybody. I don't think AT&T.
Well, no one's going to buy AT&T, but it wasn't just AT&T. Verizon also traded higher yesterday. So
AT&T, you know, and Verizon, both earnings now plays. This market is actually very simplistic right now. It doesn't dig deep into, like, you know, really digging deep. Okay, what's Vonage mean for AT&T? It's like, we're going after earnings now. We don't want earnings in the future, because if we're going to stick in with the environment, they literally were buying stuff. That's why the banks are getting ripped. Stuff that is making a lot of money right now was getting bought yesterday, because Powell was a bet that inflation continues for the foreseeable future.
For you T traders, if anybody cares besides me, who's long higher, look at this $25 area, and it's not 25 right on the kisser, but pretty darn close. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 highs, like around 25, 10. That's when this thing will get interesting. And that's where you got room to here. Oh, even another high there. That's some good resistance there. 20 breaks above there, maybe. I mean, man, this thing has been ugly. Hey, where are those activists? We're going to break it up and said, hey, the value was $42 or something like that. Who was that?
Well,
they did.
They did break it up, sort of. AT&T spun off or is spinning off. Aren't they doing Warner Media?
I can't even keep track.
Yeah,
that.
Isn't that happening? So, yeah, I mean, AT&T kind of admitted that their acquisition strategy didn't quite work out. And Dish. What about? Aren't they?
Too many channels on Dish. That was just too many. Yeah,
DirecTV. Sorry, DirecTV. Yeah, they sold that, right? So. Yeah,
it's commercials too.
I hate commercials.
And you watch, like, and you know what? My kids the same way. Like, you're gonna have the new environment. You're putting commercial in the middle of the show. So, like, if I flip on like cable TV, and my kids watching Paw Patrol, and the commercial comes on, they're losing it because they're so spoiled with everything streaming. They don't watch commercials. The new environment does not watch commercials. At least, you know, not in the middle of their shows.
Kids these days, man,
they are spoiled.
Get it.
They're going nuts. It's like, it's another commercial, because we know a 30-minute show has 8 minutes of commercials in it. That's the way they've always done it. They've got to change that business model, because they will lose the entire younger generation. Because I will tell you, my 7-year-old, my 4-year-old, zero tolerance for commercials, and that will continue. So
try going to a Michigan football game. I mean, I'm going to keep my tickets. I'm going to go. I can't. I absolutely three. It's like 3:35. This guy with a little red hat comes on, you know, and he stands there. I mean, I could go up, go to the bathroom, get a hot dog, say some hi to some friends, and come back. It's ruined sports. My dad said that in the 70s, that TV was going to ruin sports. And it's just absolutely, absolutely ridiculous.
He also said TV was a fad.
All right.
Yeah, and so was McDonald's.
All right.
Where's Bill? For a hamburger. We need some humor.
Yeah, everyone, if you have kids in the room, get those earmuffs ready. Bill Sands.
Oh, we don't get in trouble by YouTube.
I'm scared. I'm actually right getting scared sometimes.
He's our resident comedian here. Let's bring him on the show. Bill, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you?
We are good. How are you?
You guys warning your audience against me? What kind of reputation do I have out there?
Yeah.
He's good. Bill, I know you keep a PG for us. What's going on, buddy?
Nice to see you. I want to take the expectations down a little bit. I don't have a lot of jokes today because of supply chain issues, but I'll do what I can.
Yeah.
How you doing, Dennis? Hey, Dennis, is earnings season over? Is it safe to change your shirt now? How long are you going to keep this up?
No, yeah, the earnings season, we don't change our shirt during earnings season. We don't shower during earnings season. We don't change our shirt during earnings season. I think I did wear the shirt yesterday, too.
I heard you say that. I was like, Dennis, how far are you going to take this homeless hygiene strike during earnings season?
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
I know. I don't.
Is it just the shirt? Are you changing your underwear?
I mean, save so much money, though, on my water bills less. You know, like, it helps. We got to cut expenses. I'm building a house, Bill. It's inflation's getting me. We've got to cut expenses somewhere.
I heard you're not spending enough on it. You got to start a second house now.
Yeah, I know.
You got to start spending on a second house. You got to get the lumber market back up. I got
to sell my stock to finance this house.
Lord help us if that were to happen.
You stopped building, and the price of lumber went down 50 points.
That's exactly what happened. We bought the absolute high. Pretty sure we bought the high. It was me. I was keeping the lumber prices inflated, and then we got purchased all the framing material.
Can you hear me?
Collapsed.
Yes, we hear you, Bill. How's life?
Sorry, can you hear me there?
Yeah, we hear you. Can you hear us?
Am I back?
Yes.
Am I back?
I think he's full. Right, he's I think he's messing with us.
Yeah.
You're in the show. It says, can you hear me?
Yes.
What happened here?
Well, we hear him so well. We see him. We hear him.
I see you going. Oh, maybe my alarm mic is on. Everything says it's okay. Hold on. I'm going to see if I can get you on my laptop. Hold on. This was working, but then my alarm tripped.
We can just let Bill just talk for 30 minutes. We hear you.
I want to boot on the ground report. I want to boot on the ground report.
Here's Joel. Can you do this tomorrow? Joel always calls me at the last second. Whenever Mark Chaikin can't make it, he calls me up.
This is what he talks about when he thinks he's talking about
a weakness gauge on today. Hold on a second.
Wait, okay.
Hearing the other one.
Bill.
Okay, back to my laptop. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Turn this off.
Yeah, turn that off.
I think we're good.
Okay. All right, we're good. So I was can you see me now? We're all good?
Behind. I got to stop you for a second.
Why?
You have like 10,000 Post-its. Like 3M actually has a supply chain.
I'm busy thinking, Joel. Okay, I mean, Dennis, I don't know about you. Okay, I have thoughts. I have ideas.
Are all those that's not the reject pile, that's the wall pile.
Actually these are tickers that I'm looking at. That's my ticker wall. Yeah, I have my jokes over here, but my I'm facing the trading wall for you today.
And what do you got on that wall?
Look, it doesn't matter because
that's the do not trade list.
I've done so bad in Teladoc that it's wiped all of that stuff out. Okay. Luckily, I can get virtual therapy via Teladoc for all the money I'm losing on my Teladoc options.
They don't give you a discount.
I'm taking a bath on the I'm losing it all on Teladoc leaps. Yeah, it was very, very long Teladoc leaps. You know why they're called leaps? Because if when they expire worthless, that's what you want to do, just leap out of a window. It took me an hour to write that.
What about Roblox?
Which one?
RB Roblox.
I told you about that last time. Was I right or was I right? Are you kidding? Do you know how much I'm spending on that every day?
No, tell
how much?
My little girls, they're 7 and 10, and I use Robux inside of Roblox as incentives to get them to do their homework, clean their house, and it's like $9 a pop every time. So if I do it for one, I got to do it for twice. Sometimes that's $20 a day. If they're really good, that's $40 a day that I'm spending on Roblox. Doesn't matter how much I make on the stock, I can't keep up with what I'm actually spending on the company out of pocket. So I knew it was a good bet. Everybody thought it was like a pandemic play. Oh, no one's going to play it anymore. All the kids back in school. Look at my daughter. What are you doing? Roblox. Are you playing any less? No, more than ever. I'm like, bye.
That's a great indicator. The kid indicator pays, man. That's a good indicator.
Really, what Roblox is, it's a bad parenting.
You guys should do your show on Roblox. Everybody, Nike just opened up Roblox, Nike Land on Roblox. That's the metaverse before Zuckerberg. They were in on it.
Roblox seems like a bad parenting play. People like just want to bribe their kids, right, to do everything.
Well, you know, it's better than
spanking. That's how I parent.
Right? It's better than taking off your belt. It's better than what I had when I was a kid.
Not allowed to do that anymore, Bill. That's right. That's what you got to do. Now you bribe your kid.
It's the ultimate in incentivization. It's Roblox. Yeah. You can get them to do anything. They can't stop. And they're doing crazy things in there. They've got avatars. They're building, they're like designing homes in there. They're trading all their kids, all their friends from around the country, around the city. They're all sitting in their house, but wherever she's playing with friends in Chicago, her sister in the next room, and they're all inside this like little world. And then they call each other up on Google Meet, so they're seeing each other playing Roblox at this all simultaneously. And everyone has my iPhones, and I've been stripped of all my technology during Roblox time. So
Bill, I gotta ask you, I'm a little worried about you know, your business and being, you know, stand-up comedian with the metaverse and stuff. Are you planning on doing, when are you coming to Detroit, number one? Okay, I keep asking.
Yes, as soon as you guys can get a sold-out theater for me, I'll be there. Things are looking up. I'm telling you right now, you guys aren't going to get me for free much longer, okay?
So what about the metaverse?
Let me tell you something. What about the metaverse? I'm going to create my own Roblox avatar, and there's no stopping me. There's no looking back. In all sincerity, yeah, the pandemic has hit me hard, but I'm feeling very, very bullish about my financial situation. I just took a retirement quiz, and it turns out that I will be able to comfortably retire in the year 3025.
Okay, so we're not that far off.
If I get a job, I'll be fine.
have you considered getting maybe funding your retirement with NFTs that you can make, you turn your jokes into NFTs, you know?
No, but you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to look for other indicators that can really give me some leverage, an edge in the market. And I've noticed this. It just hit me one day that I figured out that the markets keep going higher as long as I abstain from all sexual pleasure, especially it's crazy, especially going solo. The markets just keep going up to all-time highs. So now you know, okay, you and your audience, anytime stocks pull back hard and go into a free fall, you know it's because I had a weak moment and indulge my primal impulses. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Okay, well,
this is where we start to get cringing a little bit. On the PG.
Come on, that was as PG as I can make it.
PG.
No, can we talk like, EVs?
Where is he going?
Can we talk EVs?
Yes, yes. What do you got
Please.
For us?
Could you believe Lucid got car of the year?
No.
Really?
Best car never made.
There's 147 of them. Come
they're,
on.
They're on target to produce zero cars this year. And they made Lucid the car of the year.
And they're worth twice as much as General Motors.
I'm all in on the Apple car, though. If Apple can turn that around, as long as I can use the same charger I use for my iPhone, I'm all in on the Apple car.
They won't let you, man. It's going to be need a special adapter. You know that.
Yeah,
I don't want to have to use another.
You're gonna adapter. Have it's a separate charging port for the iPad, for the laptop, and for the car.
So, Dennis, what do you say? Is Tesla safe now? Are you going to buy back in? You're going to go long?
Tesla's a mystery to me. It's been a mystery.
I know. It's not a mystery to me. Every time you sell, I buy, and I'm making
there you go. Lot of money. Find your strategy that works and run with it. If it works, continue to work with it.
I figured out.
The stock's will probably great. Be working on Tesla. I've been wrong on Tesla for a long time.
That's my point.
Yeah, find what I'm wrong on.
You're wrong. You're wrong on the best company in the entire economy.
It's everything. It's probably going to be the most valuable company in the world. Why not? Why not?
Well, you know, get honest. Stop building your house and start buying some Tesla.
I should build a house
for your Tesla car.
Yeah. Bill, do you have any like favorite moments? I mean, we haven't had you on for a while. Any favorite moments from the show over the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 months? You always.
No, I'm trying not to watch because I find that when I don't, it really helps my portfolio performance.
That's great feedback. That's great feedback.
Portfolio.
That's great feedback.
I'm giving you all the ideas that you can go against.
Hey, did you hear that the latest with Tesla, even though the stock's bouncing back, the you know that there's always some sort of like negative FUD out there. Now it's a sexual harassment. They got those lawsuits. It's all over. It's the top of it's the first article they have here on Yahoo Finance. But President Biden says he only supports groping by union workers. That's his administration's official stance.
Apparently
the harassment is rampant at the Tesla factory. It's not just the workers, it's the robots. The robots are goosing everybody. Nobody's safe.
These robots.
The Tesla bots need a Me Too upgrade. I can support that. I think that should come up at the next topic.
Any picks? Any picks for
Yes, I've got picks. I knocked out of the ballpark with Robux. I got some more. You ready?
What do you got? What do you
got? We're ready.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
All right, let me see. Mercado Libre, MELI, hey, MELI. Oh, wow. That's ready to come back.
The Amazon of Brazil?
Yes. Yeah.
What about the Amazon of Africa, Jemaya?
Oh gosh.
No, but Yandex, the Google of Russia. I like that one.
These are doing great right now.
Yeah. I'm looking for the Roblox of Narnia. I will definitely invest in that one. That one.
any other picks?
Oh yeah. Avalon Bay is pretty good. I like that one. I don't know.
Well, there's the one right off the. That's not
what's
even.
What's that one?
You took that one. I don't know where that one came from. Avalon Bay. We bring a read into the conversation.
I'm out there. You know,
you're diversified.
I've learned I have to diversify by listening to you people. I gotta know what's going on. I like that. What about
Libre?
Shockwave? Any of you guys into Shockwave?
The candy?
Not really, no.
Oh, come on. Come on.
I know.
It's a medical devices company and they use sound waves to clear the arteries of calcified blockage. They just play some
blockage just goes away.
Bad heavy metal into your arteries. You just pipe it right in and it clears it out. It's fantastic technology. No one believes it works. And the stock is there's no stopping it. It's fantastic. It's part of the Santiago power gauge metaverse. Stock picks.
Power gauge metaverse is good. I was thinking of Shockers, the candy, not Shockwave.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. But check it out. It's
what's the symbol?
It's pretty good.
It's SWA.
Hey, let me ask you this: how come we keep demonizing the all the billionaires like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos? I think you know why should we criticize people just because they have more money than God? I think that's a good thing. That's what I'm shooting for. As a matter of fact, I think there should be more religion in finances, and I've come up with a new concept for a company, a new fintech that specializes in Buddhist credit cards. You can pay it off in the next life. You don't have to worry about it.
I was waiting.
I'm out of here. That's the best laugh I'm going to have.
Good one.
Love you, Bill. Thank you, Bill. We need some humor on this show. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime. Have a great day.
Right. Thanks, Bill.
Have a good one, Bill. Yeah. Always great to get Bill on. I knew it was going to be something about buy now, pay never. Something to do with that. So, yeah.
Pay in the afterlife.
Bill Santiago, guys, you can learn more or see more from him. Go to his website, Bill Santiago. He's at Bill Santiago on Twitter. That's his handle. And he's got some pretty good stuff on YouTube. He's got some good bits about religion. Very funny. Recommend it. Just search his name, Bill Santiago.
I don't think CNBC is going to be stealing him from us anytime soon.
I don't know. They may. Don't give them ideas.
Not a
don't give them ideas. They're always listening. Stop giving them ideas.
Okay, real fast here. We got 9 minutes left in the show. I wanted to go back to the retail. Dick's Sporting Goods earnings this morning. This flies in the face of what Dennis said before, because this is a cash now company. They're making money. Their earnings per share, they blew it away. Earnings per share last quarter, they crushed it. They made $3.19 versus a $1.95 estimate. Sales also beat nicely, $2.75 versus $2.49 billion. And on top of that, they raised their guidance, their EPS guidance for the year. And again, the numbers were pretty good overall.
Yeah.
But
this is just a matter of, is this as good as it gets? That's what they're worried about. That's what the market's worried about. It's like they did no wrong in that quarter. It's just the market is like looking at it saying, well, it's not going to get any better than this, so we better sell it, which is, you know, crazy to think about. But I mean, this company is firing on all cylinders. We know outdoor activities, you know, even though that increased obviously during COVID, it is sticky. People are liking doing outdoor activities because they started doing more outdoor activities. I'd love to buy the dip on this one. It was such a good quarter and it's down on it. It spooks me a little bit. I have no idea. You might have somebody like Kramer. So there could be a scenario here, though, where Kramer could come out and he's going to talk. You know, he comes out at 9 o'clock and he'll say, this is, you know, just one of these, and he can turn a stock around. So you just got to be careful. He is one that has liked Dick's in the past. It would not surprise me if Kramer came out and said something to the tune of, this should not be down. This is a great quarter. And the stock turned it around just on Kramer's comments. But I mean, that's a gamble, obviously. I honestly, you know, looking at it down here, it does seem like it shouldn't be down. But at the same time, I kind of get it because maybe this is as good as it gets.
Pre-market low, 132.30. And you got a pair of lows at the 133 area. So if you're looking at support or you want to sell this on weakness, I'm looking at that. But just looking at the dailies here and also a little bit of a hint at the monthlies, there's someone or a group of people, they're trying to work out of this stock above 140. Yeah, 142 something, 78 is the all-time high, right, from yesterday. You hit that level. But, you know, you struggled here a few times. They pulled their offers. They said, you know, get it up to one. You know, once it gets over 142, you know, sell me a million down to 140. And so there's a big – same area where it failed in September – right at this 140. So I'm looking at this whole zone. You break above this, I'll even give it to 143. You break above 143, and then, you know, green skies ahead. But there's just a big seller out there. And now are they going to step down? Are they going to step down from 140 and say, you know what, I can't get out at 140. I'm going to try and get out at 138. And that's what it looks like to me. 133 parallels if you're looking to potentially buy the dip. But can't ignore that daily that turns into monthly resistance.
It's just been a really rough earnings night for retail.
Bad day.
Urban Outfitters getting hit pretty hard here. Best Buy getting hit pretty hard here. They're just, and maybe as much as they were buying the hell out of the Macy's and the Kohl's last week, it's kind of like buyer exhaustion in retail. And that's what you're seeing on these stocks this morning that reported pretty good numbers. But maybe the bar set so high by like Macy's, which obviously ripped 20% on their earnings report. Kohl's, which ripped, but then obviously gave it back afterwards on the report. I think it's just got a little bit of buyer exhaustion in retail.
There was a couple more. We had Urban Outfitters. They're kind of getting hit today hard with Best Buy down 10%. It's kind of the same idea. Their earnings are, their numbers that I saw were perfectly fine, right? Perfectly reasonable. Yeah. But yeah, just not a good morning for that.
It's this, and we should take it back to the overall market here because I'm really at the crossroads here. Like part of me wants to raise more cash. And then part of me says, well, no, this is historically a very strong time for, you know, for this, the seasonality is a very strong time for stocks, you know, coming into December, usually a great month for stocks. And it's been a good year. There's no reason why everybody's going to start selling all of a sudden. But I mean, you have the tale of two markets. You have some stocks like the Cathy high growth names that have been just hit really, really hard, you know, to the tune of a lot of these stocks down 30, 40, 50%. And then you have obviously the mega caps that have just continued to go up no matter what, where the Apples and the Microsofts have been holding up the overall market. But we're again in this tale of two markets where, you know, the IWM maybe tells a little bit more of the story where it's pulled back about 10, you know, about 4 or 5% from the highs where we were just a week and a half ago. And it kind of feels like we're pulled back from the highs. That's kind of what the market feels like. Where when you look at SPY and you see it at the highs, you're like, that doesn't make much sense to me. And it was an ugly reversal day yesterday. So you caught a lot of people. It was breaking out. S&P's made new highs. Apple, Microsoft running. And then they pulled the rug out from all of them in the last half hour. So is there people caught from yesterday still? I think so. So I wouldn't be surprised, even though we've had our sell-off overnight and we've rallied it back once again, the pre-market traders, you know, just buy the dip no matter what it seems like. Is there institutional sellers that come in after the open? I'm somewhat scared that there might be. So I think at this point, I'm actually more inclined to take profits in some stuff that I'm in, as opposed to looking, well, what can I buy because this market's rip-roaring higher. The market's got some concerns here right now, inflation-based, obviously, but we're not out of the woods here yet from, you know, the sell-off yesterday.
I wonder if the holiday plays into that as at all, because you get people saying, well, I really only have a day and 2 days now to get out ahead of a 4 day holiday, right? A 4 day period.
Get in the holiday trade, and it usually tends to get quiet. But, you know, obviously Wednesday is usually Tuesday, and then Thursday and Friday is usually a very quiet day. So we are in holiday trade right now. That does mean liquidity goes down to a certain extent. So obviously it's not, we're not saying going down to zero, but liquidity becomes a little bit less in holiday trade. So you can see moves. And if there's volatility combined with a little bit less liquidity, you can see some wicked moves. Yesterday was some very wicked moves. It'll be an interesting day today. It's very important that this market doesn't just start rolling over after the open.
Yeah, well, Best Buy is still rolling over. Look at that.
Where is it? I liked it at 21. Now it's 118, so, or 121. So
yeah, it looks like you might get a look.
I've been wrong on that one so far.
Yep, this 115 area. I'll even jot it down to 114. Three consecutive lows: 1389, 1387, 1441. So 114 if you're looking to get a little bit cheaper on Best Buy. We're unchanged here. We've come back.
We hit
46.54.50. Now we're unchanged. I agree too, Dennis. It's gonna be an interesting day. Also from like a closing perspective. You've had your jaunts up to, you know, in the 4,700 handle, got the 4,740.5. But I just like to keep an eye on the closes and the S&Ps. You know, obviously the all-time closing high, 0150. And that looked like a foregone conclusion going into the last 45 minutes. And we ended up taking that out. But there's a lot of congestion. You go back over the last 10 days, just got a lot of closes at like the 4680, 4682 area. So that's where we're at right now. We hold in there, go back, get that other punch over 4700. The best thing this market could do today is doesn't have to make an all-time high, that 4740, 50. I mean, that's a long ways away. But if we could get back and close in that 4700 handle again, I mean, that would just be such a major win for the bulls today.
All right. The day is young yet, but that'll be a wrap for the show. Once again, I did put the link in the chat.
Thank you.
To sign up for the final pre-market prep special of the year, December 11th, which is a Saturday, 9 a.m., correct, guys?
Correct.
9 a.m. on the 11th. Order execution, order flow, and tape reading. Check it out. Link in chat, link in description. Thanks to Bill Santiago for hopping on today. Dennis, have a good rest of your day. Joel, I'll catch you later. Everyone, stay green, stay filled. Please remember all the information from our show meant to be used as informational purposes and not for investing or trading advice. We're only at 270 likes. Get us to 350. Let's go. We can do it. We're going to do a push right now in the next 30 seconds.
I just liked the show.
Yes. Dennis liked it. You can do it too. You can do it too. I know
Joel like it. Have you ever liked this show before?
Joel, I'm going to like it. I'm going to like it.
Joel's going to like it for the first time ever.
Now he likes the show.
I just liked it.
He likes
it. I liked it. I liked it because Bill was on. I like having Bill on.
See, like it for Bill. If not for us, do it for our guests.
Bill's solid.
All right, I'm going to go over and cover all these tickers that we missed here. I'll go over Pre-Market Prep Plus and back with you guys later on. Everyone, have a good day.
We missed so many tickers. We're going to hop over to live trading with Benzinga. Myself, Mitch, Ryan, Zunade, hang out through the open, do some trading, maybe some YOLOs, and we'll answer some questions. We'll do some tickers. We'll just see what you're watching, and we'll tell you what we're watching, and that's how we'll roll. Through the open today, as we do every day. So I'm going to end the stream now. We'll redirect to live trading, which will start at around 9:05. And I'll see you guys over there. And that's a wrap.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market. Consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge. Boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.